name is Fernando, and this work was conducted with Rosane Minguin in the University of São Paulo, Brazil. Everything I'm talking today and presenting the tool and the presentation and the data sets are freely available in this address, and you can access also other tools and other works of our visualization group. It's a common sense, it's well known that many applications today needs to make sense of a lot of a large document collections. Like if you're a company and you're buying another company, you need to analyze a patent portfolio, for instance, and it's normally it's a very difficult task. So if you are a hospital, you need to analyze a patient records. It's a hard task to do. So there is a lot of work in the data mining community and information visualization community to help users to analyze document collections. One well-known example are the point placement strategies. Point placement strategies normally maps each document as a point on a plane where the proximity indicates some relationship between documents. Normally, the similar relationships is very common to be used. This we have an example here. It's a very simple example of a document collection. And you can locate, using this kind of visualization, you can locate groups of documents, the relationships between groups and relationships between individual elements. The problem with this approach is that if you have large document collections, you will have a large number of visual elements in your projection. So it starts to have a problem of overlapping. It can bring problems to on the location of groups of elements and an analysis between groups and so on. This is one problem. Okay, you can argue that you can decrease the size of the visual elements, but if you decrease the size of the visual elements, you have a problem with the interaction because it starts to be difficult. Also, we have a cognitive overload problem because you are giving to the user too much information to interpret at once. You're giving all document collections to the user to start the analysis. The other problem is normally the good distribution of the similarity on the global behavior, it doesn't hold for small neighborhoods. It's a problem normally related with the distance distribution of document collections. Also, if you want good results, you need to use some very complex, computational complex techniques, and it's not very good for large document collections, of course. Our approach is a hierarchical point placement where the user can analyze the collection in multiple levels of detail. So it starts with an abstract view and go in details in some parts. Now, instead of just mapping each document as a point on a plane, our visual representation can also map groups or circles on a plane. And you have different levels of detail, so we have circles and side circles. And the position of the circles on a plane indicates the similar relationships between groups and individual elements. Other contribution of this work, one is the strategy to change the visual representation and change the hierarchical representation of your document collection. A technique to extract multi-level topics because you have a cluster, circle that represents a group of documents. So we need a strategy to indicate the content of the documents inside that group. Another approach to evaluate point placements, layouts. Normally the people employ stress functions, but it's not a good idea. I will discuss at the end. And also a freeable visual system. It's written in Java, and of course it's not a commercial system, it's just a test bed system. And the code and it's also available. The technique starts creating a hierarchical representation of your document collections, splitting your collections in clusters and subclusters. Each level of this hierarchy represents an abstraction or the tail level of your collection. So the user can start with the most abstract view of your collection and only analyze the part of interest in your projection and go in details in that part. The process to create this visual presentation is split in two steps. One is, of course, creating the visual hierarchy, the hierarchy of clusters, and another one is project this hierarchy to the plane. That's there is a very simple example here. It's a 2D data set. First, I create the root node with all elements, and applying a clustering strategy, I split in some clusters, And if a node of this hierarchy has more than a certain number of elements, I split it again until I add the documents in itself, the data instance. After I have this cluster, this tree, I project one node to the plane. A projection node means that I'm positioning its children to the plane, trying to keep some similar relationships. So this is an example of the root projection. Now we have circles that represent each cluster, and the position indicates some relationships. Of course, that if the user wants to expand a cluster, it's just necessary to click on that and show the subclusters and so on. That's the idea. I've already said, but project a node means that I will position on a plane its children inside its area with some constraints. I'm trying to use as much as possible the available area, which is difficult. I'm trying to preserve relationships, similar relationships of the position of the circles, and I want to avoid overlaps. This is the constraint when I place this point on a plane. To do that, I execute three different steps. The first one, I just project the clusters on a plane, considering the centers, using a technique called least square projection. Least square projection is a very good technique to project documents. It works based on the distance distribution of the documents. Is a good idea, and it's simple actually. It starts to get a sample of the documents and project the sample of the documents and interpolate on the remaining ones, try to preserve neighborhood relationships. After that, after this first projection, I assign size to each cluster, and finally, I spread the clusters to the plane to avoid overlaps. Well, there is one important thing, is that I'm told that to project a cluster, it means that you place its children on a plane. But if you don't consider the sampling nodes when you project a node, you can have a problems of rotation, because projects are invariant of rotation. So to take into account the information of the sampling nodes, I first create a delonet triangulation and discover the nodes that is neighbors of this nodes that I want to project, and just project the center on the border of this node and use this point, this projected points, as Coltrane points when I execute the LSP. So this reduced the problem of rotation of my projections. One example of projection, this is one example of LSP, is just points on a plane trying to preserve similar relationships. After that, I assign some size to these points, so we have the overlapping. So I want to spread the nodes in order to avoid this overlapping. The idea of spreading nodes is quite simple. I create a list from the biggest node to the smallest node, and push the nodes in the direction of one node to other nodes a little bit. I don't try to avoid overlapping each step into the direction, because I want to smoothly move the nodes in order to preserve the neighborhood relationships. If I change too much the positions, I lost this property. This is one example. It's a scientific papers map. It's possible to see this is a case-based and reasoning inductive logic programming formation retrieval sonification map in four different areas, and the clusters are colored according to these areas. It's possible to see that clusters that share some the same content is close together, is projected close together. If I expand all clusters and have the documents data instance, it's possible to see it's also colored based on the area of documents. That's very grouped, well grouped. I execute one test. I get five documents on sonification, and I put in this collection. I know that five documents are very similar between themselves, and these documents are placed on the region circle in mark as A, so indicate that if the smaller on small neighborhoods, you can preserve the good relationships, similar relationships. We also have two different areas, circle and mark as B and C, which you may think that is a problem. Actually, this classification of this data set is only based on a query on the web, so it's backed up. It's a pseudo classification, it's not an exactly classification. So we have some problems that the projection or the placement fixed in some sense. I'm telling you on the beginning that I create the hierarchical cluster tree. Every time, I didn't tell it, but every time I split a node, I create a square root children nodes. This is a heuristic from the data mining community for the upper bound number of clusters a data set must have. So it's expected that you create some artificial splitting, some artificial clusters. So I allow to the user, as it analyzes the visual projection, to join these clusters and create just one cluster. This is an example of RSS New Feeds data set for someone using 2006. And there is four clusters about bird flu in this projection. And what I allow to the user is just put together and create a new clusters with all these clusters. So as the user analyzes, the visual representation can change the hierarchical structure that you have on your collection. Here I have a video just to show that. This is the tool that is available, the Java implemented tool. The user is joining the clusters in this case based on the topic that each cluster have, and just joining. One important feature of this join is that it's only local modifications. I don't create all the map again, because if the user learns some information in some part of the map and change another part, I don't want to change the part that the user already knows something. So it's only local modifications. This is just an example. You can color based on the frequency of some words, and you can expand the tree on the left side and expand the clusters and so on. Just a simple tool. Okay. This is the picture that I started at the beginning with 30,000 documents. Okay, we have a problem. This is a LSP projection. And this is the result using the heap technique. We have less information to the user, have less visual elements, so it's expected that we reduce the cognitive overload to learn the first visual representation of the first or the most abstract information of your collection. And also it's possible to the user to join clusters and so on. So this is the idea of this technique. To compare my results or compare the results of this technique with other techniques, I advise a very simple strategy. I told at the beginning that normally the people employ stress to do that. But stress is a cost function using a minimization process. So if you use different techniques to minimize or different cost functions, you have different results. So it's not a good idea to use stress, actually. The idea of this technique is simple. It's just I calculate the nearest neighbors of each document on the multidimensional space, and see on the visual space if they are the same neighbors. So I'm not worried about the distance relation, but neighborhood relations. Here we have a comparison between four different techniques, actually three different techniques: the heap, the normal heap, and the heap without anchors on the projection, the LSCP, and a hybrid layout. Hybrid layout was a technique published some years ago in the InfoVis. It's the idea of this technique is to decrease the computational complexity. But for data sets, complex data sets like document collections, the results are not so good. So it didn't preserve well the similar relationships or neighborhood relationships. For the heap, it's possible to see that with no anchors, the result with anchors, the common strategy is it's a little bit better with no anchors for more neighbors. And it's interesting to know that heap is, although it's based on the LSCP, for smaller neighborhoods, it's better than LSCP. The point here is, since I'm splitting in clusters and project individual clusters, I can preserve a better small neighborhoods. So this is one interesting result for document collections. The conclusions: it's a more scalable, a visible, scalable representation. You have less information to use to interpret at once. And that's the idea. Of course, that we need to conduct some user tests to verify if it's okay. Because, okay, this is my opinion, but we need to do a user test. But it's not so easy to do user tests in this case, because there is a lot of different variables to measure. The preservation of neighborhoods is good or better than other techniques. I showed the numbers. And although it's just a approximation, because you split your data set in several clusters and so on, even with this approximation, we have good relationships preserved, good neighborhood relationships preserved. I also didn't say at the beginning, but you don't need to create all hierarchy of the clusters. You just need to create one level, and as the user wants to expand a cluster, you just need to create the hierarchy above that, or in also the placement when the user clicks on a cluster. It's something like on demand. It's not necessary to create everything at once. So it saves some computational time too. I'm using a very simple strategy to create a cluster. It's called bisection k-means. It's very suitable for document collections. I test with several different techniques, and this is one of the most the best. This is the best technique that I have found. But if you have some different domains or some different data sets that you know that there is other clustering technique that's better, you can change this. It's easy to do that. Also, if you want to apply this for a different domain, for instance, for images, I want to visualize images, you can do that, but you need to have two different things. One is a clustering technique that's appropriate for your domain, so for images, for other kind of domains, and you have to create a summarization approach to show the content of a cluster. This is very important, because otherwise this technique is useless. Because you show clusters to your user. If the user needs to go to the data instance to understand a cluster, it doesn't make too much sense, the kind of approach. So for documents, we have the topics, because you indicate, oh, this cluster it talks about bird flu or something like that. So it's easy to the user. If you want to use for images, I don't know how can you do that to summarize the information about the images. Maybe you can use other information visualization techniques and so on. It's not a one problem, but this is one thing that you must think before trying to use this in another domain. That's it.
Presentation kind of went right hand in hand with the morning keynote about having a topological space for an information object, which I think is very important. But as far as the visualization is concerned, who and how generates labels for your clusters?
Ah, okay.
And how are they displayed? Because that's a very important part of effective visualization, so that I cognitively understand what those clusters are. So are you doing it yourself, or?
No, it's automatically tracked.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple approach to, we create, I didn't say it, but normally when you want to compare two documents, you create a vector space model. This is mm-hmm. the most common approach. And based on this vector space model, I extract this topic automatically based on a covariance between different
okay.
terms.
So, but you only show the text for the larger sizes of the clusters.
No. The you can choose to show or not show the topic, and there is some possibilities. I'm just showing some just as an example. If the user roll the mouse over a cluster, you can show and you can show and not show these labels. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of choice of the user.
Okay. I also wanted to point you to the work of Kevin Boyack and Clavans, where they actually project the space on a sphere. So in other words, you would not have the west and east most dissimilar, but they kind of band around the globe, which is a very nice representation, at least for some domains and in particular for representing large volumes of documents.
Yeah, I have thinking about to try to use a Globe, but I didn't know this work well to know before starting working on that.